Once upon a midnight jury, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. I muttered, "Ah, distinctly I remember 'twas in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember rocked its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I had sought to borrow from my book secrets of sorrow. Sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the red and radiant maiden whom the angels named Lenore, nameless here forevermore." And the silken satin surgeon rustling of his purple curtain filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before, so that now to still the beating of my heart I stood repeating, "Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer, said I, here I opened wide the door, darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into that darkness peering, long I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the darkness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, Lenore. This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, Lenore. Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping somewhat louder than before, said I. Open here I flung the shutter, when with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he. But with mien of lord or lady, perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of palace just above my chamber door, perched and sat, and nothing more. Then this ebony bird beguiling my set fancy into smiling, by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore, did arch. Quoth the raven, "Much I marvel this ungainly, foul to hear discourse so plainly, though its answers to meaning little evidence bore, for we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast above his sculpted bust above his chamber door, with such a name as nevermore." But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing further than he uttered, not a feather than he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered. Then the bird said, startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, that I but the raven still beguiling all my sad soul into smiling, straight I wheeled the cushioned seats in front of bird and bust and door. Then upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking, fancy unto fancy thinking, what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore, meant in croaking. This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing, to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining, on the cushion's velvet lining, that the lamplight gloated o'er, but whose velvet violet lining, with the lamplight gloating o'er, she shall press. Then methought the air grew denser, perfumed from an unseen censer, swung by seraphim whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. I cried, quoth the raven, said I, quoth the raven, said I, quoth the raven. I straight up starting, quoth the raven. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, and his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er him streaming throws a shadow on the floor, and my sword from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore.